This is Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Roar, you are. And Brooke, you are.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Well, the Seahawks continue, Brock, to add, mostly along the edges, as they brought in now four new free agents from the outside, not including the guys who they retain, couple of starters who they retain, Leonard Williams, the biggest one, of course, and then Noah Fant, who sticks around, but they added four players since then. One starter, three backups, I think is probably a fair way of looking at it, right? Farrell Brown going to be a backup tight end. He'll play a lot, but not your starting tight end. I think you'd still say that's Noah Fant based on the money. Rayshon Jenkins is going to be your starting safety.
Yeah.
And that's a great deal. Love that. And then they bring back George Fant. One of my favorites. You know how much I love me some George Fant.
Yep.
And Nick Harris. So what are you learning? What are we starting to think about where this offseason is turning towards?
Was that a pun intended? Were you working on ranked already? Around the edges? Chasing edges?
I was not.
Brock, this is the most gigantic ranked ever.
No,
ever? That's not true.
We're going to be doing Fants ranked.
Or edges ranked? Are they ranking edges?
You got Noah, got George. It's just going to be
long.
Seattle Fants
Salk ranked. Tried to branch out. You know how he likes to incorporate words that are close to the word, but not... And Justin actually had to tell him no.
Yeah,
that's how big this
like,
ranked
what?
Is.
What?
Even that feels like a reach, Michael? That's a little far. I will tell you this. None of these are reaches of, wow, they did what? I mean, maybe the Noah Fant signing, you look at those dollars and because of the day one of the market and, you know, because Noah is a first round pick and he can run and he obviously had some sort of leverage with other teams that were going to sign him. Maybe that is the one, Salk, where you look at it and go, okay, that's a bit much. All of these other ones just, make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, Rayshon is a guy that the football numbers people love.
Love him.
Ooh, love him.
The Athletic had him ranked pretty significantly ahead of Quandre Diggs in the free agent market as well.
Yep,
and
love,
so they get him for a lot less money.
Yeah, love the coverage, love what he was able to do, love some of the versatility. I think you're going to hear that from Mike McDonald, that when it comes to safeties and what he really needs is, certainly Quandre brought a lot of it, but just a more hefty price tag. And so you get this guy on a deal that looks very similar to Julian Love last year.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I think some of the patience, and Julian was a Pro Bowler. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler last year for what the Pro Bowl means. That is still an esteemed position at the end of the year. And they waited. They were patient with him. And he came to the market, and I think he probably overpriced himself early, like some guys can. And hold on a second. Where is my market? Well, supply is really good. I know, but where's my market? Like, I'm a good player. Where's my money? You know, I was offered this. It's the Matt Chapman. Like, hey, man, I was offered this. I got this kind of dough. Well, I'm sorry. The market does change. And Julian was a great pickup last year. This is a deal that smells similar. Those are two very interchangeable parts and two guys that are very cerebral and been around the league. And
both guys can play free and strong and kind of do everything.
Yep, both guys could do a little bit of everything. And then do you realize that George Fant will be 32?
That's crazy.
He's like all grown up.
I know.
32 in July. This was a 6'6", 250-pound hooper, Western Kentucky.
I got to throw some credit at two people when we talk George Fant. The first is Mike Salk, who years ago saw George Fant at training camp, his very first training camp, and was like, who's that guy? That guy seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Seems like he should make the team. And continued to talk about him for a while, and then eventually he turned himself into a pretty good player. So noted talent scout Mike Salk on a rare occasion actually write about a player.
Yep.
The other person is Brady Henderson, who was on here on Friday saying, hey, because I asked Brady straight up, do you think you can count on Abe Lucas next year moving forward? Not that I don't love the player. I love everything about the guy, the player, no shade thrown. But Pete used the word chronic to talk about his knee issues. Mm-hmm. And if it's a chronic knee issue, is that something that's going to continue to be a problem year after year? Great player when he's in there.
Right.
But can you count on him?
Correct.
And Brady's answer was yes, but you better bring in a significant piece to be your swing tackle because there's always going to be a very real chance he's not available. And Jake Curhan and, Jason Peters at 75 years old are not going to cut it.
Yep.
And so what do they do? A couple days later, they brought in exactly that. So all credit to the hitman.
Yeah.
He was absolutely right on that.
And he is exactly that. And he can play right tackle. He can play left tackle. It's my understanding it's a two-year deal, just like Rayshon's a two-year deal. So some of these are one-year deals. Farrow's a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
George is going to be a two-year deal, I think, exactly to that point, because there is value in that, and you're going to need that. I texted yesterday with our center, our former Husky center.
Yeah, Harris?
Nick. Yep. still had his number from our football camp. It's always a wild flyer when I do that. Yeah. I'm like, huh, I wonder if this guy's got the same number as he did.
Because you know? Otherwise some random person
otherwise
like,
someone's like, what the
heck? Do you out yourself in that text? I've always wondered this. How do famous, how do athletes text like, hey, is this still so-and-so famous athlete? Yeah. This is current so-and-so famous media member.
Let's see. I don't think I do. Okay. I just said.
Did you have somebody do it for you? I've always been fascinated.
Brock has his people get in touch with Nick Harris's people.
I do for sure put my name.
You have to.
Yes. After all of this time, I for sure have to put my name. Okay. So I just said, man, congrats on coming back to Seattle. It's awesome. And then my name. And it's same number.
Yeah.
Got a little fist pound. He appreciates that.
Oh, wow. Fist pound.
Yeah. But he's, I think you also read into that. Farrow's a 1-year deal. Nick's a 1-year deal. That kind of tells you, like, that's on the edges. That's on the fringe. That's a role player. You look at Rayshon. You look at George. That's a little more than that. It's a little more than that. Mm-hmm. And you really can't do any of this without the first move, that you've got to throw in there. And I think it's just, it's an assumption. I had to do that. Yeah, but they still got that deal done with Leonard. Still got him to fly from Japan. That's still like the foremost piece that you have to have. That's still a wave one $20 million a year guy. And they got that deal done. And now I think we're going to continue to see some of this. I think there's going to be a linebacker signing. I think there's a couple guys out there that they've got their eyes on. That may happen
today. Who's left in the linebacker
world? A couple guys. In fact, I tweeted last night, like, the Pro Football Focus guys love the linebacker from Buffalo, Tyrell Dotson. 6 foot, 240, really covers. I mean, he was the number one PFF graded guy, number three ranked coverage guy. So for whatever that is worth, and take it with a grain of salt, that's one organization. But when he played, and he's been largely kind of a backup, I don't want to say special teamer. Matt Milano, really good player, Pro Bowl player in front of him. And he got hurt, and this guy's gone in and just played really good football. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got their eye on a couple linebackers. I think there's a guy out of Miami, Baker, made a lot of tackles, 5-6 years, physical, big physical dude. So there's still a couple linebackers out there, and the numbers are right. Hopefully they can find a way to get those things done.
Well, I tell you, I like that they're not going crazy spending and, going nuts, overspending on the cap and ruining their future, any of that, for guys whose names we know who are eventually going to be past their prime over the hill.
Yes.
I really, really like that. I don't know whether all of this is going to come together for them to be a contending team in 2024.
No, there's still some holes, and there's still some guys that got to take steps, and this draft is still going to be super critical.
I also don't need them to be a contending Super Bowl contender in 2024. Like, you're bringing in a new staff. You're completely kind of starting over.
Yep.
Maybe you're not, turning the roster back to zero, but I don't have a Super Bowl expectation. If they surprise me and are better, great, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2024, that's gravy. To me, it's 25 and 26 where you expect this team to start to really compete.
Are there any of these deals, Maura, Justin, as well, that you look at and go, man, I wish the Seahawks would have done that with the Seahawks? Man, I wish they would have given Damian Lewis 4 years and $53 million. Man, I wish Colby Parkinson 3 years and whatever, $30 million. Jordan Brooks 3 years, $30 million. Are there any of them that you look at and go, golly, I really wish they could have done that
just
one?
Of Seahawks that left?
Just of the Seahawks that have left.
Oh, God, no.
I was going to say there are other players.
DJ Dallas, 3 years,
I mean,
nine
Jordan
million.
Brooks was the only one I questioned because he is a talented linebacker.
Yes.
And we were just talking about how that pool seems depleted at this point.
Yep, I would agree with you. I think Jordan is the one that you look at and go, but again, they know the medical, they know the car, they know the operation better than anybody else.
If we were in a little bit different spot, I'd be jealous of the Danielle Hunter deal, right? I mean, you might not be in the right spot to make it, but 2 years, $49 million is not that much. I mean, it's 25 a year, but it's only 2 years. Like, that's not going to kill you.
Yep.
So, that one would
sort of... there's a couple on the outside, absolutely. But from internally...
Oh, God, no. No.
Jeez.
God, no.
Can we give...
No. Anytime a new coaching staff, a new regime comes in and they want to move on from people, I support it.
Yeah.
And I, this goes back for me years and years. Yeah, when it was Pete, it was, that tight end who everybody thought was good, John Carlson. When Pete came in, it was him and TJ Houshmandzadeh and a few guys, Lofa, guys who just weren't as good anymore.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't want to do this. Let's move on from those guys. I think I remember telling you at the time when I was a kid, I remember Bill Parcells coming into New England for the first time. And Parcells was, the big tuna. He was and the Patriots were the worst organization in the history of sports.
Yep.
They had at the time one good player on their team, Vincent Brown. Remember the name Vincent Brown, middle linebacker?
Yeah.
They called him the Undertaker because John Madden said he had muscles in his face. Like, he was awesome.
first thing Parcells did when he got there is cut Vincent Brown. Everyone's like, what? He's the only good player in the team. A year or two later, they were good. Vincent Brown was out of football.
And somewhere Sherman's yelling at him, like, how can you cut these guys? How can you do that?
God, then that echo you can hear. Oh, he's out. I wasn't sure. I know there's sort of an echo whenever he talks. All right. We got to run. We'll come right back with everything you need to know. We've got the Bobs. I got a meeting with the Bobs today. Both Condota and Stelton going to join us at 8:30 and 9:30. Stick around. It's Brock and Salk.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, the Seahawks, Brock, finally got busy yesterday, brought in a couple more free agents. Safety Rayshon Jenkins is probably the biggest name on there. He's definitely going to be a starting safety. Tom Pelissero with more.
Rayshon Jenkins took several visits this week and is landing with the Seattle Seahawks. This is a really important signing. When you remember, they got a new head coach, Mike McDonald, who is installing his system as he replaces Pete Carroll. The Seahawks had released Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs before the start of free agency here. They wanted to get another veteran on the back end, and Rayshon Jenkins was a surprise cut.
Surprise cut, former mid-rounder. I remember calling his games, actually. Went back. I'm like, I know that name. Why do I know that name? Well, you know a lot of NFL guys' names because there's not a lot of dudes. Then went back. Oh, yeah, I saw Miami. There's one year I think I called five Miami games, and he was one of those safeties, and he was a hard-hitting dude, and he's 6'1", he's 210.
See there when, like, the chain thing got started?
Ooh, he pretty close. This is eighth year in the league. He may have preceded that by a year, but right around that same window. And the Pro Football Focus and the next level stats guys, whether it's coverage, whether it's interceptions, whether it's playing the ball, they all like him. And I think the Seahawks, I know the Seahawks like him because of versatile. Because he and Julian can now do both. It's not just, hey, you're the single high guy and you got to be the deepest of the deepest. He did some of that, but he will come up and hit you. And just like Julian, a pretty versatile guy. And keep an eye. I think this new staff, a little bit intrigued by Kobe Bryant. I don't think you're going to see another safety sign. You may see one drafted late, but yeah, keep an eye on Kobe Bryant because I don't think he's going to be a nickel in this scheme.
Yeah, $12 million over 2 years for Jenkins. They also signed old friend George Fant, who should be a swing tackle and give them a lot of options if Abe Lucas continues to have problems with his knee. Bobby Wagner yesterday moves on again. This time he reunites with an old friend himself, Dan Quinn in Washington, on a 1 year deal. Max value of $8.5 million there. $6 million of it is guaranteed. Seahawks yesterday, a couple of qualifying offers sent out to Michael Jackson and John Rattigan, and the move that Mora just tried to slide in there. I didn't see this reported anywhere other than when Mora emailed it to us last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't even read it first last night. I didn't see it again until this morning.
It's on their website. I saw Brady tweet about it, too.
It's everywhere,
Saul. I'm
pretty sure Mora made this up.
I don't know who you're following, Saul, but it's been out there.
Seahawks re-signed Daryl Taylor?
Yeah, they just extended. Same kind of deal. He had a goofy deal because his rookie year was all entangled with injury. So,
is that guaranteed money?
No, it's not like a fifth-year option or anything like that. Nope, it's extending a similar tender, but he's... It gets a little complicated. It gets complicated.
Does it mean he's definitely here this year?
No, I think he's still got to definitely make the team still.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Blowout win for the Mariners yesterday. That's always nice. And they did it with a real lineup against a real lineup and a very good Dodgers team. Facing new pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto, they put up 4 runs and then tacked on 4 more after that. Mitch Garver had a nice offensive day. Ty France.
Yamamoto from the belt. Here comes his pitch. Swung on, hit hard, past the diving shortstop Betts into left field. Scoring Polanco right behind him. Here comes Garver. He's going to touch home. Ty France, a 2 RBI single. The Mariners on the board, and they've taken the lead over the Dodgers. It's 2-0.
So that's nice to see. Actually, Scott was pretty impressed with the game in general.
Really good game. I thought it was probably our best all-around game all spring. Pitching-wise, certainly seeing Yamamoto for the first time, I thought our guys made a really good adjustment. Second time through the order, first time through the order, the stuff is very good. The split finger and the curveball, the good fastball. But we were on it. JP, good day. Mitch Garver, just, walk up there, get a good pitch to hit, and puts a really good swing on it. So.
Yeah, if Mitch Garver keeps doing that, you're going to really like that signing, that's for sure. And then can I play you something just for fun?
Oh, sure.
You want to take a look, 3 years into the future for a moment?
Okay.
Listen to this.
Swung on, roped, right field line. That's down. It's going to the wall. Screaming around third base, Emerson. He's going to score. Pete is right behind him. He is flying. Pete around third. Helmet off. He's going to score. Montes into third. Head first slide. A triple as he claps his hands together. A two RBI triple for the big man. And the Mariners add a couple more. It's 7-1.
That's the single A kids. Laz Montes driving in both Colt Emerson and Ty Pete, last year's two first round picks. That's kind of fun, isn't it?
That is fun. Those dudes look young, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We'll ask the other Bob, who's going to join us later in the morning.
They are young.
They're unbelievable.
They're like 19.
I know. It's incredible.
But
they're Macy's age.
But they're going up against, you know, they're playing in a big league game in spring training. They're probably going up against other single A kids, but still kind of fun to see.
If you were to make your list of the Mariners you'd sure like to see get off to a hot start, not down here in spring training, and there's only, opening day is 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. If you
put hot start?
Yes.
Just hitters?
Yes.
All of them?
Ty France is way up there for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
When you transform yourself, when you put in the work, when you really go to bat, pun intended.
Ty France and Midge Garver would probably both be pretty high on the list just because of the, you know, coming in new and being not being frustrated by T-Mobile, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll talk to Bob at 9:30.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Oh, man.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over for Mike Hopkins. One of the true nice guys in the sports world, but unfortunately...
I'm wearing my Husky swag.
Not a very successful run for him at UW. Yep. They lose yesterday, and he is out. Cougs going to play their first game of the Pac-12 tournament tonight, 6 o'clock against Stanford.
Yeah, you've golfed with Mike. I've been around him a lot. He is a great guy. He's such a nice, nice guy.
Knows the game,
and
loves the game.
And he's an assistant coach. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I always say this, the Tom Moore, the Monty Kiffins, those guys that I have been around in my life that understood, like, I'm an assistant. I don't need to be a general. I don't need to be in charge of everything. I'm equipped, and I am so much better built to pour into others from that role than I am leading the whole team. And that's okay. Leadership in management is very, very hard. And college basketball and COVID and everything, I mean, it made it really difficult for him. But he's an assistant. I hope he lands somewhere eventually and continues to pour into people because he's a good dude.
That's everything you need to know. 7:15 every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. I get a text from my dad. This was 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
My dad texts me and he says, hey, are you awake? I need to talk to you about something. Can you call me?
Mm.
And so I'm here till 6. It was like an hour later. And I said, yeah, I wrote him back. I said, okay. 2 minutes later... he says, okay, I'll call you in a few minutes.
Okay.
Don't say anything because I was literally eating an apple and I wanted to finish my apple before talking to him. 1 minute later, my phone rings. That's my dad. It's like, Dad,
are you okay?
Could you tone it down between you and my dentist? I don't know who is like more
so I've been thinking about,
after me.
I've been thinking about Perry Hill and I can't get that image of him on top of me.
No, he had a legit question that he needed answered about some travel plans and stuff. But it literally went from, are you awake? Can you call me? To I'll call you later to him calling me a minute later.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, it turns out empty nesters, their timing's a little different.
Gosh.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Exactly. Between my dad and my dentist, I don't know who's more obsessed with me. Maybe I need to get them together so that they can text each other back and forth throughout the day and I can live my life in peace.
I mean, you put yourself on the list, too. You, at the beginning of the segment, gave credit to one Mike, or the last segment.
Yeah.
He
let
did.
Me give credit to one Mike Saul.
Nobody else was going to.
I hope you cut that.
Yeah.
Quarterback aficionado to talent scout.
Yeah, talent scout. Offensive line, talent scout. That's me. All right. Coming up, speaking of being in love with people, Brock, as you know, is quite smitten with one gentleman. We're going to talk through that because a few other people have thrown some flowers at him recently. And you brought up a new name yesterday, and I'm here to shoot it down. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, Brock, I think I'm going to shoot down one of your theories. I've been thinking about it. I did a little research. You know how I am.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a well-researched guy.
Uh-huh.
And so I did a little research last night, and I'm going to have to shoot you down here. Sorry.
You're out on JJ, huh?
On JJ. No, I'm still in on JJ.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
see how it's possibly going to happen, but I'm not out on JJ.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I'd like your JJ stuff. I think that's kind of fun. No, I spent a little time looking at Justin Fields' numbers here over the last couple of years, even just last year. And I was just comparing him to Geno.
Yeah.
Really hard to make an argument that you should go after Justin Fields to try to replace Geno Smith. And just, you know, Geno's ahead in almost every category. And you look at it and you're like, all right, Geno's more accurate with the completion percentage. The interception ratio was significantly better in Geno's favor. He's way ahead in yardage, just, you know, the amount of yards he threw for. Not that that's the number one stat. Mm-hmm. The one place that Fields is ahead of him is just rushing yards. 657 of them last year is pretty impressive. And maybe, you know, equivalent to that, and that 657 is about 500 more than Geno had.
Mm-hmm.
I did like seeing 43 first downs over 10, like rushing first downs for Fields. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
I mean, that's moving the chains, and that is something that I'm not just going to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to look at those numbers as a whole and say, okay, this guy's going to be better than Geno Smith moving forward.
Well, I think the key there is anybody saying that Justin Fields is going to replace Geno Smith in 2024, that is a, or are we 20? Yeah, 2024 is terribly misguided. Mm-hmm. You're not going to replace. Geno's going to be the quarterback here. And even if you do go up in the draft or, you know, do something crazy or something falls to you that day, it's still going to be Geno Smith that we're going to see at OTAs getting the first reps. Like, he's your quarterback. The question is, and this is all a value proposition, and all of this stuff, right, with all of these signings and why this guy over that guy and why this move over that move, it all becomes, in their mind, a value proposition and projection, and that's where Justin Fields becomes intriguing, just from a value play. Not to replace Geno Smith for 2024, but Geno missed a couple games this last year. Geno's not going to get any younger. How many quarterbacks played last year in the NFL? Started games like 55, 60?
Yeah, 50-something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy amount. Do you want Justin Fields to come in here for $3.2 million?
Mm.
I mean, would that be a better deal than, you know, some of these guys? Right now, there's very few, most of the QB
All right, you
curves,
convinced me again. All right, I'm back in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about.
All right, I'm back in. Yeah, and, you know, all right, I'm back in.
And you know what? Maybe to push Geno a little bit. And as you say, man, this is a first-year regime. This is all new. This is all of this stuff. I don't know. What if you want a third-down quarterback? What if you like 2.5 first downs a game with his legs?
Yeah,
and
that's
he's
pretty good.
Providing you. So,
all right, I'm in.
Yeah, gosh, you're easy.
That was fast.
Man, are you always this easy?
No.
No. I think you know that. Do you guys want to talk about Nick Saban later?
No, I think we're good. No.
How does Heather convince you of stuff? Is it the same way?
She and I always agree. She doesn't need to convince me on anything. We always sort of agree on things.
I think that's the important part because you're absolutely right. Yeah. From an accuracy and an anticipation, all of these tools.
There's something missing there.
There is something missing there. I think from even a personality of handling, like being the top 10 pick, something that Pete always talked to you and I about on the air, off the air. Like, man, have some compassion and grace for these guys that the world is just all of a sudden put upon their shoulders.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the savior of Chicago, and they haven't had a savior for 40 years. 50. Like, when was their last great QB? Sid Luckman?
Yes.
In the 60s, whatever.
Literally,
it was
Sid Luckman in the 60s.
I mean, I give McMahon a little credit. I mean, he was a little cray-cray.
And right, but even that was like a year. I mean, he wasn't like a franchise quarterback because they haven't had one. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot going on there and a lot to parse through. Maybe that's why I'm so easily convinced on one side or the other.
Yep.
He's a tough call. There's no doubt on Justin Fields. So we'll keep that one in
mind. But by the way, that's not just 3.25. That's also then trading, and that's where the value play is right now, because I'm sure there are some teams out there, maybe a little bit like these two pitchers that are still sitting on a market with Scott Boras. Like, hey, come on, man.
Mm.
You know, Garrett Cole's elbow. Yeah, well, it looks like the UCL's still attached, but you can be out some months.
Yeah.
We got this guy, Blake Snell. Come on. Like, let's go. Let's get the deal done. Like, no, we got our number. And right now, Chicago's holding to their number. Nope, we're not going to trade him for a fifth-round pick. Nope.
Okay.
It's going to take a second-round pick. Okay.
Well, no one's going to give them a second-round pick at this
point. All right. So
that is just going to drift and drift and drift and drift. Let's see. 703 must be watching on the stream. How is it that two human beings in the same studio are so different in how many layers of clothes they are wearing right now? Yeah, Brock, you do have a lot of layers on. You're wearing at least three layers that I can see. And
I
there may be more in there that I can't.
Yep. You've got what, two?
I'm just wearing a pillow.
Well, he's got a built-in layer. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Well, the
I mean, you got some strong fur.
It's going to be 55 degrees today. I put on a polo shirt. I don't know
this
why.
It's a very thin jacket, to be fair. It is very
thin.
It is very, very thin.
Thick sweatshirt.
And this is a nice
Yeah, you're covered in
hoodie.
Covered in clothing.
That was the husky that we used to have back then. I think that he used to run out
old school
the tunnel before me. Yes. Wow. Yeah, and then a t-shirt. No, you're right. I got three. And you're rocking one. So are you cold? You okay? You always complain about the studio being so cold.
Well,
so
no, they fixed it. They finally fixed
it. Oh, they did.
Yeah, you weren't here for that. They finally fixed it.
Not that we were just, you know, pumping air in from outside.
Yeah. It's like 12
fresh
degrees.
Fresh air is good in the summer, but when it's 30 degrees in the morning, it's not.
Yeah. Yes. I think Maura would submit to you that I was not out of line in complaining about the temperature here. It was freaking freezing here for a while. So let's see. I got some Justin Fields thoughts. Lewis Riddick has been the one who has been most all over this.
A good fit, big picture wise, is to go somewhere where he can truly get a clean start, like a fresh start. And that may mean, you know, an organization that is starting over clean themselves, to where he could sit behind maybe a veteran or compete with a veteran who is a solid starter, but maybe like the organization may be looking to move on from or looking to upgrade, you know, and maybe they're not looking to upgrade, but just someplace that would be beneficial to him as far as learning from another professional who maybe has a similar career path in terms of maybe people not loving him initially, but then he kept working, you know, stayed resilient, and eventually got his opportunity. And so to me, that led me right to Seattle.
Yeah, so he says Seattle would be the best destination. Doesn't mean that he's the best choice for Seattle, but that Seattle would be the best place for him.
Yeah, and it'd be fascinating to have both Mike McDonald and Ryan Grubb in a legit conversation over a beer at Dino's to say, what do you think? I think McDonald would say, yeah, I kind of like that. I know the value of a quarterback that can really run. I know from my perspective as defense coordinator, this guy's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I know some of those metrics aren't great, and I know his awareness and some of the, you know, whatever.
But those are things you really care about.
But 43, right?
I know. I'm troubled, Brock. The things that you say aren't great are the things that you seem to care most about in a quarterback.
Well, they are year after year why you win in this league and why Chicago's looking to take Caleb Williams.
So why go down this road?
Well, do you feel like you can enhance that and grow that? Because I think you and I would have said the same.
Grow his leadership?
You and I, no, and the awareness, the accuracy, those things. Because we would have said the same thing watching Geno for two or three preseasons. Dude just didn't have it.
Right.
Like he's a 4A player. He's a good player. Like
not just would we, if we did.
Yes. And all of a sudden, like, wow.
Yeah.
He gets the opportunity and he gets poured into and he gets a confidence and things maybe, you know, he's got guys he builds trust and rapport with, and DK and Tyler, and this guy is pretty darn good.
For me, though, man, like the things you're saying are the things he struggles with are the things that I know you find important in a quarterback.
That's fine, but you can at least cut. If you didn't then, Salk, have athleticism and a dynamic ability to create 43 first downs with your legs, that offsets it.
Where did that come from? Because didn't he not run much when he was at Ohio State?
Well, he didn't have to run much.
Oh, is that why?
He could. Yes.
He didn't really need to.
Yeah.
Because I remember also, I was like, wait, where did this guy's legs
Olave,
come from?
Olave, Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just throw the ball wherever you want.
NFL
somebody's
starting
already open.
Left tackle, starting right tackle, starting NFL guard, tight end. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good, especially when you're playing Maryland and, you know, Rutgers.
Northwestern. Gosh, there was a great Northwestern game I called.
Dan Orlovsky thinks that this is actually going to happen, that Justin Fields ends up here.
Number one to the Seattle Seahawks. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number three, the Indianapolis Colts. Seattle losing Drew Locke and Geno with firmly being their starting quarterback. But Mike McDonald doesn't have any allegiance to Geno. And you just never know, and you want enough good players at that position. And I think Justin's proven more than enough to be worthy of, hey, a sixth or seventh round pick and $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But by the way, those other two fits make sense for him also.
Well, Indy doesn't anymore. They just gave Flacco $6 million.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Ugh. Yeah. So, so Flacco's there. So now you're talking about Seattle and Philadelphia. Now you're talking about John Schneider and Howie Roseman, two guys that are long tenured at their job, that got a lot of relationship in this league, that, you know, understand and try to build into people and not just tear them down. And just as Geno Smith went through a little QB rehab here. So, as I said, I think McDonald would be like, yeah, man, I understand the deficiencies, but what offsets it's unique.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think a Ryan Grubb would have to really study that tape and go, okay, is there enough there? You know, we can talk all this, but like, is there enough there? Emotion, shift, a move, and get this one-on-one. Can you throw it on time? Can you get it out of his hand? Because, to those two guys' points, I would co-sign with Orlovsky and Lewis and say, yeah, I think Geno would be just the guy to learn from.
Hmm.
You know, just the guy that was also hammered, just the guy that couldn't play, just the guy that was also out of this league, that I think of all the places that Justin could learn a little something about leadership. And it's not as if Geno's leadership is, oh, so out of this world. He's just a genuine, authentic dude that seems to handle and be that thumb guy consistently. could be a pretty good fit for, as we've talked about, a late round pick and very low money.
Another quick conversation I want to have with you, because you were bringing up and this does relate back to the quarterback idea for the Seahawks, is the wide receiver market. And I do think that those two things are connected. Mm-hmm. And you were talking yesterday, hey, look, the wide receiver market hasn't really taken off. And I wasn't like fully on board with it, because I just sort of looking through, like, I went to, for whatever reason, the Athletic's list of free agents.
That's your go-to?
That's been my go-to this year.
You're hyper-athletic.
Hyper-athletic. I totally get it. It's like that Stacey and Curtis promo. I'm an athlete.
Yes.
I'm sure they would tell you. Yeah. Do you know how many wide receivers they had in their top 20 free agents?
Not many. Ridley.
Two. It was Ridley at like 13. Mm-hmm. And then...
Pittman?
Gabe Davis at 20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. So there really weren't a lot of wide receivers, you know, up for it. Pittman got paid.
Yep. And Evans got paid.
Yep. And now it might have taken a couple of days, but Calvin Ridley got paid. Mm-hmm. He got some mega money as well.
Yep.
Gabe Davis signed right away. So let's maybe pull back on the wide receiver market isn't so great, because I would say it is. Those guys all got paid or got signed immediately in the case of Gabe Davis. So, and there weren't that many of them to like have a big spending spree on. Now we'll see what happens with T. Higgins and whether or not that trade market emerges. And obviously the wide receivers in this draft are still great. But if you do still want J.J. McCarthy, the only path I see to get there is either dealing from your future significantly or dealing DK Metcalf. And so this is not I want to trade DK because I think he's going to be bad. Yeah. He might be great. He might have 1,000 yards. He might be the best receiver in the league this year. I'm not telling you that he won't be.
Yep.
But if you do have your heart truly set on your little object of your affection, J.J. McCarthy, how is he going to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, and to that point, you get Calvin Ridley's number up to 5 years and $90 million because there were other bidders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those other bidders may end up taking Roman Dunze and take people in the top 10, and you know, or the first two rounds of this draft may see
but 10 receivers interest. Go.
Yeah, but there was interest. There was enough interest to say, okay, for
would
those
that— would
you
rather have DK Metcalf, or would you rather, you know, sign
for those that
for
did not get
money.
Calvin, those that lost out on Ridley, those that were willing to pay that kind of money— yeah, keep your eye on that. That's why everything's got to be on the table.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, three good football questions for Brock. We call Blue 88. We'll start with this one. I know you were, in addition to wearing all your Husky gear today, you were watching the game yesterday and around a whole bunch of the guys who played on that team. They played against your guy, J.J. McCarthy. Are they as smitten as you?
Well, let me just set the tone a little bit here.
Okay, please set the scene.
Set the scene just a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a nice lunch with Big Bro, the Needle. What a great guy. Watching Husky hoops and thinking to myself, man.
You're at the Needle?
No, the Needle. You don't know who the Needle is?
Spence.
Spencer Haas. Legend.
Spence Needle.
Jeez.
Lived here for 15 years. I've never heard
that's his nickname.
One person refer to him.
Well, now
that
you
way.
Know it now.
Okay. Has that always been his nickname?
Yes.
Okay. Never heard that.
Well, maybe also his social handles, I think, too. Spence Needle.
It is. Maybe that wasn't his nickname in college, but that is his.
Okay.
That's his moniker. That's his go-to. So
I thought you and Damon, rollers that you are, were watching the game up at the top of the Needle.
Watching the Huskies, thinking to myself, man. Remember when I got so wound up about this? Remember how, like, the Pac-12, and we talked to Gus yesterday.
Scott Suggs missing threes.
Oh, so just passionate about Husky basketball. And I will be one day.
Abdul Gaddy gets
slaughtered. If they get this higher right.
Missing layups.
And then over there in the corner was a bunch of Husky football players.
Hmm.
And I'm like, this would be good. This would be good for the radio. If I go over there and just chat with them, and one of them's birthday, and just a whole grouping of guys that did play against JJ last year. So I walked up to the table, and, you know, said hello and introduced myself and some, you know, fun chatter. So, okay, quick question for you guys. You're John Schneider. You're the Seahawks.
Mm.
You taking J.J. McCarthy? Is your guy?
Really?
Oh, it was a... No. We wanted him to throw. You kidding me?
Really?
All he did was run the ball. So, you know, I took it. Boom, 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 boom. I took all these punches, and I was like, okay, so fancy me this. How many picks did he throw in 14 games? Right. And then we just started to work through it and started to have this conversation. I wasn't trying to turn them. But by the end of it, they're like, wow, that's how they think at the next level. Yeah, yeah, that's how they think at the next level. Like, it isn't just about your path. And we talked about Penix in the same way. They're like, well, Penix getting drafted before him. I was like, I don't think so. And then I felt like Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson. Remember that old debate with all those Michigan State guys and everything else? And I was like, again, this is not about Michael's past injuries. It's projecting him forward. And that's where some of the rub is. But by the end, I said,
you're arguing with a bunch of college kids.
I said, by the end, we'll see. Next Friday is his pro day. And just watch me. If he runs what they say he could run, if he runs in the 4.4s, they're like, he runs in the 4.4s, he's first round pick. I was like, all right, good. I'll get your appetizer next.
Question number two.
No, hey, by the way, there is no way, and this is Damon, and I'm staying with Damon and Julie, there is no way that you would sit there and talk to those guys and ever say that. 15 years ago, you would. You would not sit with those guys and go, a bunch of college kids. You would leave that table and go, wow.
Bunch of men.
These are a bunch of men.
Yeah.
Like, they're grown-ups.
Yeah, they're getting paid.
They're all adults.
Yeah.
You know, they're
helping them grow up.
22, 23.
Just another advantage to the NIL system.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
Question number two, Brock. You mentioned the name Terrell Dodson earlier. Who is he? Why is he unsigned?
Yeah.
Could he land here in Seattle?
Yeah. Texas A&M guy. Athletic linebacker, Mr. Tennessee out of high school, five-star, 5A player of the year, just an absolute stud, goes to A&M. It was just kind of inconsistent, was a little bit of a running back, a little bit of a linebacker, was good, and by the end was good, but was never great. And I think even went undrafted to Buffalo, or was a late-round pick to Buffalo, and just kind of had to build himself up. Had some off-the-field issues as a rookie, worked himself back into being, I think he won their Community Man of the Year last year. And when he played at a high level. I mean, the Pro Football Focus guy, if you just did nothing, if you're an athletic guy and you are an athlete, and I don't want to just frame Justin as a PFF guy, but if you're a PFF guy or gal, you'd look at Pro Football Focus and say, how in the world is this guy not signed? He was their number one graded linebacker. He was their number three graded coverage linebacker. How is he not signed? A little bit undersized, has not been the guy, and is probably with his agent looking for a payday after 4 or 5 years. That payday, I think now the market is simmered. Everybody else took their linebackers. Hopefully the Seahawks can get a deal done with him or Jerome Baker because they need it. That linebacker room right now is near empty.
What were his off-the-field issues?
Not your favorites. But I don't know the extent of it, so I don't know all the details of that. But
domestic abuse?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is the same organization, right, that said they wouldn't do that?
Well,
I just want to remember. It's always hard to.
I think there's.
Just got to keep my memory on this.
Yep. I think that there's. Yeah. That's,
okay. All right, just checking.
Yep.
Okay. Question number three. Seahawks doing something real positive in the community, Brock. Tell me a little bit more about what they're doing. This is a cool thing for every sports fan.
This is like, man.
Home run here?
This is a home run.
Yeah.
It is flag football for girls in high school. And it's got to happen. And I've seen it happen in other states. I've seen it in Colorado absolutely blossom and take off. I was in Arizona at spring training, that Monday of spring training when we were all hanging out. I said, I'm going to go see my buddy Jeff, old roommate from Washington. Mm-hmm. His daughter plays now flag football. It's now a sanctioned sport in the state of Arizona, as it is in Colorado, and it needs to be a sanctioned sport in the state of Washington. So the governing body, the WIAA, will be voting on this at the end of next month. You have already seen this. There have been a ton of awesome ventures already and initiatives put out there, and the Seahawks have put, like nearly $500,000 into this thing already. The NFL, it is super important to them, Salk, to see this get done, and it's going to be an Olympic sport in 28. Like in LA, it's going to be an Olympic sport.
Pretty cool.
So having firsthand experience of watching this, of practicing the very first practice in Arizona I got to be a part of, and it was such a freaking blast. And watching hundreds of girls turn out at the different high schools in Colorado, like I want to play football. I want a chance to play. This is so stinking fun. Like this is a no-brainer to me. WIAA, state of Washington, come on now. I really don't know. Like, this is not a sport that requires, like, hockey, like lacrosse, like travel baseball, an inordinate amount of money. It's two flags and a belt and a football, okay, for crying out loud. Yeah, maybe some mouthpieces and headgear can come into play.
No, but it's more akin to soccer in terms of the equipment necessary.
Yes, and there is a huge passion for it. Get this done, WIAA. Maybe we'll have to talk to some people over, some of those voting members over the next month or so. That vote is at the end of April. If you know anybody, if you want to make some noise, if you're at high schools and you're clamoring for this, let's make sure that this gets done, because this absolutely should be a sanctioned sport in this state.
All right, there you go. That is today's Blue 88. Three good football questions for Brock. We do that every morning at 7:45.
Yeah, let me see. I got some other bullet points.
You do?
Well, I don't even need bullet points. Like, this one, to me, is a no-brainer. Like, this is an absolute no-brainer to go get this thing sanctioned and go get it done.
Okay.
Yeah, so right. Please.
I love it.
Yep, about 50 voting members over there in the WIA, whomever you are. If any one of you are listening and you have any question, you can call right here, 866-973-776. On the air, off the air, I will talk to you. This needs
wow.
to get done.
Brock, yes. That is impressive. I didn't know you were willing to just talk to anybody about this.
866-973-776. No, if you're a voting member at the WIAA and you have any question about this,
yeah.
I got firsthand personal experience and this needs to happen.
All right, we got a whole bunch coming up. The Bobs, we got our meeting with the Bobs today. Bob Condotta going to join us at 8:30 this morning. And then at 9:30, Bob Stelton, 206, says, Salk, I'm guessing you recorded that conversation with Stelton last night. There's no way you would risk having him sleep through a pre-10 a.m. conversation, being that he will still be sleeping. Now, he's awake, I think. I'm trusting Bob live, and I think those guys are getting up early because I got to go over to the park
he
when the guys are there.
Enthusiastic, like, sure, no he problem, did? Exclamation point.
Do you think he'll be equally as enthusiastic when we talk to him at 9:30?
I think so. I hope. Let's cross our fingers.
All right. Fingers crossed.
Do we reach out to Lefko first?
Just
does
to
he help broker
sure. I mean, I don't know if you can talk, Brock.
Does he knock on the door like, come on?
Oh.
Yeah, Brock's the guy who misses appearances.
You kind of publicly missed an appearance on their
I did.
Show.
I screwed up the hours. I'm sorry.
Time change.
But I did good. I did next day.
Did you give good guess when it was all said and done?
I was okay guess.
You were okay guess.
Yeah, not like you.
Did I tell you, by the way? This, speaking of guess, I got a text the other day from a guy in Pittsburgh, big name show in Pittsburgh. He's like, hey, and this is, hey, Mike, this is so-and-so's producer in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the Russell Wilson news today, and I'm reading through it, assuming they're going to want to have me on to talk about Russ in Pittsburgh. He says, hey, do you think we could get in touch with Brock Ewert? So I was
love that.
All right. Let me see. His kids are playing a basketball game then. So I text Brock like, hey, you can't do this, right? He's like, no, of course not. And so I write the guy back. And I was like, hey, really sorry. Brock's busy then. Wait for it.
Oh. Do you need more? Or?
The guy's just like, okay, thanks. Like, all right, I see how this goes.
Matt, Mark, Mike.
Thanks.
That show has no idea you're the quarterback aficionado.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. If only they'd known the way I first saw George Fant, I'm sure they would have loved to have had me on. All right, Bob and Dave have been in Arizona all this week. They've done a couple of big interviews already. Heard of two or three things I want to play for you next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710.